This morning, we're going to continue our sermon series titled Assurance, that you may know. This is our expository, verse-by-verse, precept-upon-precept journey through the book of 1 John. Now, last week, we got really excited because that's what happens when we get in the Word of God and we start to discover the goodness and the bigness of God. We got excited that the assurance of holiness is ours. The assurance of holiness has us walking in a new dimension, has us walking in the dimension of light, in the dimension of Jesus. We discovered last week that this assurance of holiness talked about in the second half of the first chapter of 1 John has us walking in a new purity where Jesus actually purifies us. He does this for us because we're walking with him. And the assurance of holiness has us walking in a new fellowship, a fellowship with God and with one another. Koinonia, relationship, real life with God now. And so with this truth of God's heart for fellowship, this desire that God has for relationship with us, we're going to move into the second chapter of John's letter to the church. We're going to discover something fascinating and exciting. We're going to discover that we have the assurance of an advocate. That's the title of today's message, the assurance of an advocate. What's an advocate? Sounds cool. What is it, though? An advocate. Webster's Dictionary says this about an advocate. It's a person who argues the cause of another person, primarily in a court of law. An advocate is one who pleads the cause of another, one that supports or promotes the interests of another. Now, in 1 John chapter 2, we find our advocate. Are you ready to be introduced to him? All right, let's turn. Beginning of verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This passage of Scripture is so amazing. It's so wonderful. It is letting us know that we have assurance that Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is our advocate. I like how the Apostle John addresses the church as children. And we understand that as God's children, we're learning to walk. We're learning to walk in holiness, as we talked about. We're learning to walk in the light. We're walking through this process of sanctification, walking with God. He's making all things new as we're walking with him. And we also understand that as we're learning to walk in the light as he is in the light, that there's a danger that we might fall. That we might fall into sin. Now, as children of God, we don't live in sin. We don't remain in sin. But we may fall into sin. Let me show you a picture on the screen here. This is a picture of a sheep that has fallen into the mud. Just look at that sheep. Does he look like he's at home? Does he look comfortable? Does he look like he's where he's supposed to be? Not at all. No. A sheep may fall into the mud. But they don't live in the mud. They don't like the mud. They don't live in the mud. They don't flourish in the mud. And so here we have this other picture. We have this man. He's the advocate. He's representing Jesus in this analogy, right? And he goes and he sees this sheep who's fallen into this mud. And he rescues and pulls the sheep out of the mud. Now, pigs, on the other hand, now a pig might enjoy a warm, sunny Sunday afternoon up on top of a hill, but where they really like to be and where they spend most of their time is in the mud. But we're sheep, and we have a good shepherd, our advocate, Jesus Christ. So if or when in the course of walking with Jesus, walking with him in the light, if in that process we sin, if we miss the mark, Jesus speaks to the Heavenly Father in our defense. He makes intercession for us. Jesus advocates for us. And I imagine it might look something like this. Jesus talking with the Heavenly Father, saying, Heavenly Father, what Eric just did was a sin. He missed the mark. Yes. But this isn't who Eric is. Eric is a new creation in me. He's walking with me in the light. He's mine. He's one of my sheep. I'm his shepherd. I know him. I vouch for him. And I cover his sin. See, that amazes me. The Son of God is my advocate to the Father. Jesus pleads my case. Jesus defends me. Why? Because he's good. Just who he is, he's good. He also defends me because he knows me. He knows me because I'm walking with him in the light. He knows me because we have fellowship with one another. We have relationship. We have that koinonia, that communion with one another. So he comes to my defense. And he vouches for me. He knows who I am. Here's more truth that underscores our assurance of an advocate. It's found in Romans 8:35, the second half of that verse. We're reminded that Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He's advocating for us. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 7 verses 24 and 25 says that because Jesus lives forever, and there's again that understanding that Jesus is eternal. He is the eternal Jesus. Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them, for us. When we find new life in Christ, when he is our Lord and shepherd, when we become his sheep and he our shepherd, when we walk with him in the light, we have the assurance of an advocate, Jesus. And it says that our advocate completely saves us. God does things completely. He's a God of completion. God doesn't do things halfway. And he doesn't want us to settle for halfway, uncompleted life in him and with him. He wants us to walk with him day by day in the light with the peace, the joy that comes from the assurance that he knows us and that he is interceding and advocating on our behalf. Let me tell you a story. When I was growing up, I was just a little boy in Shakopee, Minnesota, my grade school years. I lived in Shakopee. You got Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's now a suburb of Minneapolis, St. Paul. It used to be a backwater. I mean, real backwater, you know what I'm saying? And then in my junior high and high school years, I lived down here in the southern tip of Illinois in Mount Vernon, Illinois. And when I was growing up in Shakopee and in Mount Vernon, Illinois, I picked up a belief. I carried a burden. This isn't something that my parents taught me or planted in me. But I picked this belief up somewhere. I believe that if I committed a sin that day, that if I happened to die before asking for forgiveness, even if I didn't know that I sinned, if I didn't ask for forgiveness and repent of that sin, that if I passed away before I did that, if I died even before I woke up that morning, that I was bound for hell, that I would lose my salvation, that I would miss heaven. That's what I believed most of my childhood. And I'm going to let Tim Hawkins kind of put it a little different way for us this morning.
The worst prayers, they got to be the prayers that parents pray with their kids. No wonder they don't want to go to bed at night. My parents used to pray this with me in the dark when I was a kid. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to give.
If I should die, before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to pass.
Sweet dreams. In the morning, maybe. I don't know. 50-50, I can't guarantee anything. Oh, and don't let the bed bugs bite. Psycho.
Oh, my. Yeah. Anyway, I'm 48 years old now. I'm a pastor, and I finally realized that I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry because I'm walking with Jesus in the light. I don't have to worry because Jesus, the Son of God, He knows me. We do life together. We laugh together, we cry together. We sit together. He's my advocate. Jesus is my assurance. He's my advocate. Walking with Jesus. It says in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, Jesus says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." Simple enough. We're really good at complicating life with God and life in Christ and this whole Christian walk, aren't we? All these hoops to jump through and difficulties of how it needs to be done. Jesus said, hey, let's keep it simple. Love God. Love others. Let's keep it simple. Remain in me and I will remain in you. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to worry. Rather, we can live with assurance as we remain in Christ that He will remain in us. As we walk in the light as He is in the light, which John talked about in the first chapter of his letter, 1 John, as we walk in the light with Jesus, do life with Jesus, have koinonia, fellowship, relationship with Jesus, that He is faithful and that He is our advocate. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us, as it says in Deuteronomy. We simply walk with Jesus and remain in Him. We walk with Him. We remain with Him. Furthermore, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." So when we sin, and folks, we do sin, we're still going through the process of being sanctified. I haven't met somebody who doesn't sin still in some way. We're still being sanctified. We're still falling into sin. It's not who we are anymore. It's not our identity anymore. It's not what we like. It's not what we love. We hate it. We run from it. But when we do fall into that sin, God has provided a way for us to be reconciled, for us to have fellowship with Him. And that way is Christ Jesus. Jesus is our propitiation, is a term that's used. He's our propitiation for our sins, meaning that He is the sacrifice, that Jesus bears the wrath of God against sin. Jesus does that. He went to the cross as our propitiation, bearing the wrath of God for our sins. And instead, what did He do? He turned God's wrath into favor for us. He took the wrath of sin, and that wrath of God was turned into favor for those that are found in Him. It's often called the Great Exchange. It's beautiful. It's unbelievable, and it's ours. And God wants us to live in that reality, in that assurance that Jesus is our advocate. He's done this for us. Now, I want to continue to discover this relationship that we have with our advocate. Moving forward in the second chapter of 1 John, verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Again, Apostle John, he's a straight shooter. Just says it like it is. I appreciate that. So what do we find here in this passage? We discover that we know that we have an advocate because we know Jesus. That's what John is saying. We know we have an advocate because we know Jesus. There are two words that are used in the classical Greek that are interpreted into the English word know. The first word is oida. And oida speaks of a knowledge which was gained by abstract learning. The other Greek word that's translated into the English word know is gnosko. And gnosko speaks of knowledge attained through personal experience. And in both instances here in verse 3, the word used for know is gnosko, referring to knowledge gained through personal experience. John is talking about an assurance that doesn't result from mere head knowledge. Just kind of a mental assent or simply a set of doctrines. Doctrine is important, but if we stop there with doctrine and we don't take it further, if we stop with oida and we don't go to gnosko, we're missing what John is saying here. See, John is talking about an assurance that comes from a life lived with Jesus. A life of personal relationship. A life of interaction with Jesus. Gnosko, interaction with him. Could you imagine, Velvet, if I just knew you like oida kind of knowledge? I just knew about you. Knew that you were a wonderful person and good looking. And I mean, that's not what I want. I want to marry her. I want interaction, relationship with her. And that's what God has for us. He wants gnosko. The kind of knowledge and understanding that only happens because we do life together. That kind of knowing. A life of personal relationship and interaction. And so this scripture says that there is something that shows us, that demonstrates us that we're walking in this kind of knowledge, in this kind of knowing. And the thing that demonstrates and allows us to understand that we're finally getting it and walking in this personal way with Jesus is a thing called obedience. Obedience. Sorry, I said a little loud the first time. Obedience. Doing what Jesus commands, doing what he has instructed of us. That's really what obedience is. Jesus instructs us how to live and invites us to live with him and do life his way. And we call it obedience. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus is recorded as saying, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." A few breaths later, Jesus then talks about a people that didn't know him, and so he said, "Get away, I never knew you." Never knew you. Never interacted with you. There was no gnosko between us. Moody has this statement. He says that true knowledge of God is obedience to God. And obedience to God is love for God. So again, we see the tying together of relationship with God, of truly knowing God, of truly living with God and him knowing us. We see the tying together of obedience in that. Because again, we often just look at a negative side of obedience, but obedience is beautiful. Obedience is walking with Jesus. It's doing what he does. It's coming into agreement and alignment with him and his ways of life, his kingdom. That's what obedience is. But still, many wrongly believe that obedience is a punishment or a burden, something to avoid, like the plague or like yucky-tasting medicine. Hey, kids, I'm going to tell you something. Y'all, the medicine tastes great today. When we were growing up, it was horrible tasting. I mean, medicine, it was like a punishment, you know, to have to take medicine. It tasted so bad. And a lot of people look at obedience in that light. Ooh, if I have to, if I absolutely have to, but it tastes so yucky, I really don't want to do it, God. But if you make me, and if this is what I have to do to get better and to be like you and to go to heaven, I'll take that obedience medicine. God says to us, taste and see that I'm good. Taste and see that following me is good. It's beautiful. Jesus said this about following him. It's not yucky. No, it's good. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. And that would be everyone in this room. We get weary and burdened. I mean, life can be hard. We live in a broken world. It can be difficult. And Christ says, come to me if you're weary, if you're burdened, and I will give you rest. Not a bunch of hoops to jump through. Not condemnation. But I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle. Look at following him, walking in the light with him. Come follow me, walk me. For I am gentle. I'm humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's a picture of obedience. Because that's a picture of walking with Christ. Now the world, they have a different yoke for you. They have a different burden that's very heavy, very harsh. So the enemy tries to do everything he can do to keep us under the yoke of this world, of the principalities of this air. Jesus is saying, come walk with me. Obey me. Walk with me. Embrace me. Get on board with me. And you're going to find peace. And you're going to find, wow, his yoke, it is easy. His burden, it is light. When we follow Christ, when we walk with him in the light, in holiness, as we talked about last week from the first chapter of 1 John. And when we follow his instructions and obey his commands, when we get on the same page with Jesus, that's what it is. When we get on the same page with him, we will find ourselves not growing weary, not being disappointed, not living a stale and religious kind of existence. That's not what God has for us as we walk with him in the light. Rather, we will experience rest, peace, and the joy of the Lord. That's what God has for us. He's a good Father. And Jesus is our Savior that leads us into this kind of life. Jesus is our advocate, and he loves us. I want to continue with this good news that brings life. 1 John chapter 2, let's continue in verse 5. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete. There it is again. God likes to complete things. That's what he does. He's a God of completion. Doesn't go halfway. And so if anyone obeys his word, if anybody walks with him, takes on his easy, light yoke and burden, it says that God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. So again, what do we do? It's very simple. We don't jump through hoops. We don't have to do spiritual religious gymnastics for this kind of life. We simply walk with Jesus. We do life with Jesus. And Jesus brings to us and deposits in us the completion of God's love. That's amazing. We just do life with him. And we get the completion, the fullness of the love of God poured in us. We get to receive it all. This launches us into the assurance of a new command. It's the command of love. We're going to touch on it briefly here this morning and dive into it a lot deeper in a couple weeks. Continuing in verse 7, dear friends, You know, all of this real in your face kind of get real with you talk that John does, I love it how he always sets it up too, but he always reminds you, my dear friends, my children. Because this is the love of God for us, the Word of God is. He says, dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him, in Jesus, and you. Because the darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining. Verse 9, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. The assurance that we have in Jesus, who is our advocate, results in love. If we hate, we still live in darkness, John is saying. However, our love for others demonstrates that we're walking in the light with Jesus, remaining in Him. In John 13, Jesus is recorded as saying in verse 34, a new commandment I give you. This is what John is referring to in 1 John. Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this kind of love, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And again, we're going to talk more about this assurance of love that we receive and that we live out in Christ Jesus in just a couple weeks as we continue our study of 1 John. John concludes this section of Scripture in chapter 2 of his letter with some additional incredible assurances. And I want to make sure that we don't jump over these. I want to make sure that we receive these assurances and we take them in and we come alive in these incredible assurances. In verse 12, God's word says, I write this to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name, on account of Jesus. We have the assurance of forgiveness when we walk with Jesus in this way. When we walk with Him in the light, we have the assurance because He knows us, because He's our advocate. We have the assurance that we have been forgiven. Some other assurances. In verse 13, I write to you, fathers, because you've known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you. And you have overcome the evil one. Assurances from God that are ours in Christ Jesus, our advocate, the one who we were created to know, to walk with, to experience, to interact with, to sit with, to listen to worship, to adore, to spend eternity with. We have the assurance of knowing God. We have the assurance of overcoming the devil. We have the assurance of being alive in Christ and of crushing Satan is what John is reminding the church. Why? Because our lives are found in Christ. And everything He has and everything He's done has been given to us, His children. I want to close by rereading the first two verses of chapter 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Again, our advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the good news of Jesus. Church, we have the assurance of an advocate. His name is Jesus. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our devotion. He's worthy of our time. He's inviting us to get to know Him. I mean, really know Him. To walk with Him. And to interact with Him. To taste and see that He's good. To enjoy Him now and forever. And He's also inviting us to come alive in this truth and reality that we are forgiven. That we are new creations in Him. And that He is our advocate. And if we forget to deal with a sin before we fall asleep, that He's got us covered. Because we have gnosko with Him. Because we have relationship with Him. Because we know Him. And most importantly, He knows us. He knows us. Those who walk with Him. Let's stand up, church. I feel compelled to do something a little out of the box. It's just coming to me right now. I just want to sing a song, and some of you in this room are going to know this. It's an oldie. The rest of you just smile and remember Jesus is your advocate. But if you know the song, please, please sing loudly along with me. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Amen. Amen. Jesus. Amen.